Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my pastor, Brian Hurlbut. We are going through Richard Mao's book, Talking with Mormons, An Invitation to Evangelicals. To give you a little bit of a recap, Dr. Richard Mao is the president of Fuller Seminary. He was the one that was remembered for his apology at the Evening of Friendship event that took place in the Salt Lake Tabernacle back in 2004 when Dr. Ravi Zacharias was the keynote speaker. Dr. Richard Mao decided to apologize on behalf of all of Christians, accusing them of bearing false witness against what Mormons believe. He's written a book regarding his discussions with Mormon academics, and he also offers his criticisms of those folks such as myself, and I guess even some pastors who would take a serious stand against Mormonism and decrying it as being anything but truth. We are looking today at page 27, where he has a subheading called Why I'm Encouraged. And he talks about a book that was written by O. Kendall White called Mormon Neo-Orthodoxy, A Crisis Theology, which was published by Signature Books in 1987. And in that book, Kendall White actually bemoans what he sees as a shift in theology among some Latter-day Saints. And one of the examples that he gives is a statement that was made by Glenn L. Pearson, who is, he says, a longtime faculty member at Brigham Young University. What was the statement that he had trouble with, Brian?
Well, the statement goes like this, and I quote, and Richard Mao quotes it, "There has to be down payment of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Who has a broken heart and a contrite spirit? One who is stripped of pride and selfishness, one who has come down in the depths of humility and prostrated himself before the Lord in mighty prayer and supplication. He has realized the awful guilt of his sins and has pled for the blood of Christ to be a covering to shield himself from the face of a just God. Such a one has made the down payment." Now, Mao's next paragraph explaining his reaction to that statement goes like this. "That paragraph certainly strikes me as a solid biblical call for sinful people to plead for mercy from a righteous God. Suppose in a sermon in an evangelical church I said, Glenn Pearson put it so well when he wrote that the kind of person God welcomes into his presence is one who has realized the awful guilt of his sins and pled for the blood of Christ. No one would question my orthodoxy or try to strip me of my evangelical credentials, unless, of course, they knew I was quoting a Mormon. But even then, what fault could they find in what Glenn Pearson actually says in that paragraph?" Now, Bill, this is so stupefying to me. When somebody says Rich Mao, I think two things. I think Tabernacle Apology, and I disagree with his approach to relating to Mormons. Secondly, I think sharp Calvinist scholar. Now, the last part gives me hope. So the last part gives me hope that there's some real theological meat to bear here. And yet, when I read this, I cannot believe what Mao's missed. Let me read to you the last line of Glenn Pearson's statement again. "Such a one has made the down payment." Now, if you are listening and you know anything about Christian theology, the one thing you should know is that Jesus didn't make a down payment. Jesus made a full payment. Mm-hmm. He paid it all, right?
Yeah. All to him I owe.
The author of Hebrews, he died once for all. I mean, this is stressed throughout as a New Testament theme, is that Jesus paid it all. And so for Mao to say that, boy, I'm encouraged by Glenn Pearson saying Jesus is the down payment. Bill, you correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that would be what Mormonism has always said at one level.
You're right. It is. And I'm surprised that Dr. White has a problem with this, if he understands the vernacular, because now this wasn't stated at that time. This was a statement made by James Faust, who was a member of the First Presidency, but in 2001, in a conference message, and the fact that it was in a conference message gives it a lot of clout to Latter-day Saints. They have to take it to the bank, because as we've been emphasizing here, in the March 2012 edition of the Ensign magazine, Dieter Uchtdorf, a member of the First Presidency, made it very clear that when you hear something in conference, that's God speaking through his prophets and apostles. This is not just to be understood as personal opinion. James Faust said this: "Our salvation depends on believing in and accepting the atonement. Such acceptance requires a continual effort to understand it more fully. The atonement advances our mortal course of learning by making it possible for our natures to become perfect. All of us have sinned and need to repent, to fully pay our part of the debt. When we sincerely repent, the Savior's magnificent atonement pays the rest of that debt."
I was on a plane with John, by the way, who teaches at BYU, speaks around for the church, and he and I got sat next to each other for a two-hour plane ride, and we got into a great gospel discussion. It was very warm and ironic, but very to the point. And as we engaged that subject matter, I used an illustration that comes, I think, actually from Bob Millett, but about how if I were to illustrate by saying heaven's 36 inches away, that when a Latter-day Saint speaks of Christ as the Savior, what he means is that I may fill up 12, maybe 24, maybe 10 of those inches, and the remaining inches left are filled up in some way by Christ. Or I've also heard it, another Latter-day Saint articulate it, that in a sense, I and God fill up all those 36 inches together. It's grace-infused works all the way along. And I said, John, by the way, looked at me when I shared this illustration with him, and he said, "Are you saying to me that if I contribute 1/8 of an inch to the 36 inches, that it's all a wash?" And I said, "Bingo. Exactly. That's the point. The point of Galatians is you don't bring anything to the table. The point is he's done it all. Anything I do is in response to what he has done in total for me, paying my sin debt on the cross." And so that Rich Mao would look at this and would say, "Boy, what evangelical could find any beef with that?" Well, I guess I'm the exception, because I find a beef with it.
You're not the exception, because a lot of my colleagues in ministries all over the country who are now starting to talk about this book, because now they're getting it and they're reading it, are all noticing that. Right. They're all noticing that paragraph and how Mao says, "Well, nobody would have a problem with me saying it." And I'm going, "Wait a minute, I would raise my hand.
Absolutely.
I have a problem with that, because the way that you have just explained it is the way it's always been understood among us. He paid it all. He is all sufficient. That's the right. Debt is paid. Tetelestai. It's over. There's nothing you can add to a debt that is paid in full. This is not to say that we don't think there should be sanctification that follows our justification.
That's right.
Certainly there should be. The problem, of course, in Mormonism, they meld the two, justification and sanctification, making it to where in order to be justified, you have to accomplish all these things. Now, when Faust talks about when we sincerely repent, well, according to page 67 in Gospel Fundamentals, a manual that's still being used today, it was only written in 2002, at least updated, I think, in 2002, it says that repentance is stop sinning. That's how it's defined. Repentance is stop sinning. Now, certainly that should be the goal of every person, I would think. But are we going to be 100% successful at that? Not very likely.
I'm not. And
no.
And I know your wife, and you're not.
Yes, yes, she would tell you that. Love that woman. Keeping me in line, that's for sure. But the point is made, and I think Mormons know that too. Mormons know that too. And if you think that Latter-day Saints are in total agreement on this issue, that's not true either. We have to go back to what the leadership has said on these subjects.
Right.
It really doesn't matter what he thinks Glenn Pearson is saying. Now, what's amazing to me is this statement by Pearson was written back. This was in a book in 1961. Mm. This isn't new.
Right.
This has been around for a long time. And I'm kind of amazed that O. Kendall White would even use that as an example. It seems like an old, expression to use. Why doesn't he use something a little newer. Of course, there have been a lot of statements since then that would seem to show this shift among right. some. And he quotes one towards the end of the book, and we're going to be looking at that. That would be Brigham Young University professor Spencer Fluman. But as we've said before, you cannot go by what these BYU professors are saying because they do not speak for the church. That has been made very clear.
That's the alarming part for me is where the statement really resonates with me isn't so much about Pearson and White, and it is about Mao's use of it because I expect better things from Richard Mao. I really do. I expect better, more savvy theological thinking from Richard Mao. And with all respect to him, and I have engaged him personally on this topic, I am stunned that he uses this as an illustration because it seems as though, and I don't know whether he is or not, when I read the statement, it seems as though he is oblivious to how a Mormon articulates grace and works in a synergistic relationship. Mm-hmm. And I read this and I'm just floored by it.
Yeah, and if those examples that I've given, if they in fact are saying what we think they're saying, I'm encouraged. I would agree with Mao. I'm encouraged by that. But that does not necessarily mean that Mormonism is going in that direction. I have not seen that trickle down into the conference messages. I'm not seeing it trickle down into the manuals that Mormons are supposed to use. But even Mao on page 29 asks the question, but do they mean the same thing? That is the million-dollar question. Because Christians can very easily be deceived in thinking that Mormons are saying the same thing if they do not understand that Mormons define the very terms we use very differently. And if they are defining the terms very differently, then that becomes troubling. Because we're not actually communicating. We are talking past each other. Any final thoughts on that before we close?
Well, you know, he says, I'm going to explore these questions a little more at length soon. But here I want to simply make a basic point. If Glenn Pearson in saying Calvinist-type things is really using words in deceptive ways, why is Professor White so concerned about what Pearson says? What I would say is, I don't have to impute a deceptive motive. It's just different. And that's the point. I'm not trying to, we used the term demonize in a previous broadcast. I'm not trying to demonize any of my Mormon neighbors and think somehow they're purposefully deceiving me. Mm-hmm. What I do want to elucidate is the differences, because the differences are eternally defining, even whether they're trying to deceive me or not.
Exactly. Exactly. Excellent point.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.